all the way up.
Thank you. Alex, alcoholic.
Alex.
My sobriety date is 2/23/23. This is my home group, and I have a sponsor who I try my best to disappoint on a regular basis. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. As far as my childhood is concerned, it was pretty standard. I had two loving parents that are still together to this day. Gave me a good example of what a happy and healthy relationship could and would look like. No major trauma in my life. Going through school, mostly A's. Typical gifted student. Yeah, exactly. Gifted student turned alcoholic. Classic. And pretty standard. I will say with that, if you can imagine growing up a 6'2" string bean ginger, things are awkward. Existence is awkward. So going through school, I did always feel a little out of place. Was always one of the weird kids, but kind of embraced it. Spent a lot of time reading. My head deep in a book, or once I got a little older, playing video games to kind of distract myself from that, take myself out of whatever may have been going on at the time. With that exception, though, is probably the most important part of my childhood, which is to say that from the ages of 3 until I was asked to leave because of alcohol at 21, I was a Boy Scout. And the Boy Scouts, I got to do and see a lot of really cool things in terms of camping, mountain climbing, hiking, whitewater rafting. I loved it. And I got to go through that experience with a lot of other cool guys that I had good relationships with. And I enjoyed it enough that I stuck with it and became an Eagle Scout. And that's not an easy thing to do. It did take a lot of work. There was a lot of learning that had to be done in terms of learning how to be a good person in society, personal finance, first aid, camping, you know, all the other stuff you would expect to come from Boy Scouts. And that became a big part of who I was. I attribute part of why I was able to do that to, one, the group of guys I was with. It's usually said in Scouts that only around 1 in 100 that come into the program will make it to Eagle Scout. Well, my patrol was 6 of us, and every single one of us made it to Eagle Scout. Because we all were there for the same reason, and we all pushed each other to do better and be better. And it also helped having just a framework for how to live and, you know, how to be a good person. That being said, at around 16 or so, I did start dealing with some mental health issues. Granted, my first drink didn't come until I was 18 or 19. At the time, my friends and I, we thought we were some classy SOBs, so we got ourselves some Colt 45 and 2 zigzags and went down to the UT park after dark. I will say, I did not fall in love with alcohol that night because malt liquor is gross. But I did absolutely fall in love with, at that point in time, weed. It's definitely a big part of my story. I'll try to tailor in the alcoholism. But for the first few years of what we'll say, in that moment, standing there in that park, even with all of my time in Scouts, that was the first time that I felt like I belonged. I was part of, everybody wanted me there, I wanted to be there, and I can distinctly remember standing there in that circle, passing the joint, planning how I was going to do that again. And I could not wait to do that again, and again, and again, and again. And to start off, it was pretty sporadic. I would do it when I got the opportunity, social smoking. Then it started to become a little more accessible. So I didn't take but a year or two for me to become an everyday smoker. For the longest time within that, there was a little bit of drinking here and there. But I always felt myself more drawn to marijuana because I could keep my faculties about me. It didn't last as long. But as time went on and as I did more drinking, the opposite started to come true. And I started drinking more often because it lasted longer. And I didn't have my faculties about me. And I was able to further get out of my head and out of that awkwardness that I existed in. And over the years, I mean, it didn't take long for me, probably 4 or 5 years, to become not necessarily an everyday drinker, but close enough. I certainly was by the end. Looking back on it, the signs of my alcoholism were present early on. I realize now that it's not normal thinking to realize, I'm starting to get a bit of a tolerance to vodka. Let me switch to whiskey. Or, you know, I've been having whiskey a lot. Let me switch to wine so it'll actually affect me. That's not normal thinking in the slightest. And towards the end, I'll say that I was an everyday gin drinker, if that tells you how much I hated myself. And that's really the best way to describe where I was at the end of my drinking, was I hated existing. The thought of waking up in the morning was miserable. I look back on it now and I realize that every day I was going to bed praying I didn't wake up, and waking up every morning praying somewhere along the way I'd get hit by a bus. And it was a dark time for me. Someone that I had always been a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, would try and give back the best I could, but by the end of it, I was just mean and sad and angry and miserable. Our text says it, of a pitiable, incomprehensible demoralization. I was a husk of a person. I woke up and existed to get to 5 o'clock so I could drink and turn off my brain, because thinking was the last thing I wanted to do any given day. And within that, about 2 years before I came into the program, I had hit some kind of bottom where I realized I had to find a different way. And I researched AA. And I have a very distinct memory of drunkenly researching AA, going online, seeing the 12 steps, looking through them, seeing, you know, breaking them down logically, because I was a very logical person, seeing 1 through 3, coming to terms with, you know, my disease, 4 through 8, coming to terms with who I am and where I've been and what I've done, and 9 through 12, working on being a different person. And I saw that, and I even researched other opportunities. The Satanic Temple has a 7-step program, Smart Recovery. And I looked at all of them, and I realized they all had the same message of those kind of 3 main points. Come to terms with the disease, who you are and where you've been, what you've done, and then work on being a different person. And I realized that AA was the founding of all of those. And I saw the word God. And I thought to myself, damn, I wish I could have that. Because at that point in time, I was a devout atheist. I was the type that, if you know it, I always wanted to have my West Wing moment in terms of having someone come up to me spouting some biblical stuff and just shut it down. And I was angry about it. Even just the idea of God was something that angered me. So because of that, one little word, God, I suffered for 2 more years. And they were not fun years. Within that, I will say I did spend a year up in New York, living in the South Bronx, where I learned that malt liquor doesn't have to be taste good when you can get 4 tall boys for $5. That's good shit right there. I'll also say within that of in that year of New York, I saw my degree, my disease progress because I was, you know, free from my parents. So, you know, all holds were off in that. I went up there for a job at a nationally renowned hospital that I ended up getting fired from. Going up there, I told myself that I was going to start off with a clean slate. Not drink, not smoke, not do any of that. It didn't take but a week for me to start drinking and maybe a month for me to be, picture it, me walking up through black guys on the corner in the South Bronx asking if any of them were old. It was a ridiculous sight to think about. And that's just, again, one of the examples for me of even if I want to stop, I have good reasons to stop, I can't. I'm always going to come back to it, and it's not going to get any better. Now, I will say, as a vegan atheist, or coming into the program as one, I'm now in a place, thanks to these steps, of not only having a higher power, but being grateful for it. Because before I even realized it, that higher power was showing themselves in my life. Prior to me coming into the program, I had tried most of the things under the sun. I hadn't gone to rehab or detox or anything like that, but therapy, psychiatrists. I had been in, on more than one occasion, you know, gone to a psychiatrist, been on antidepressants, and been in a place where my brain was telling me that I had all the chemicals. You're happy. You've got the serotonin, the dopamine, you're happy. I still wanted to die. And that was just a sad way for me to live. And it took having a licensed therapist recommend to me, you know, hey, we've tried all of this. If you, you know, have your drinking, it's still there. It's still not great. You considered AA. And I just so happened that very next day to be meeting up with Coffee, a friend of mine that back in high school had been in the program, had been at this meeting back in high school, so back in 2007, 2008. And I was at a place of desperation and willingness and told him, hey, I'm going to talk to this person tomorrow. And I sat and I realized now I was 12-step in terms of. She told me what she had been through with the program. She wasn't in the program at the time, but still had a lot of love and passion for it. And it had given her a lot, even in the, you know, on and off times that she was in the program, that I thought, why not give it a shot? I don't have anything to lose. If it sucks or it's a cult or anything like that, I can leave. And on December 22nd, 2022, my 31st birthday, I sat right over there and came to my first ever AA meeting. And my life changed that day. One of the most poignant ways was, and this is one of the ways I see God working in my life, was this is the only meeting that I've ever been to that closes the meeting with Dr. Bob's last message. And in Dr. Bob's last message, he sums up 12 steps when simmered down to their last as the words love and service. If I can tell you anything about the 18 years that I spent in the Boy Scouts, it's that I learned love and service. Because what I was taught from an early age, there's even one section of the Boy Scouts that uses the traditions of the Delaware Indians, the Lenni Lenape, and has uses some of their language, and one of the words they use translates to love one another. Another saying in that section is leadership through service. So when I heard those words, a light bulb went off in my head. Oh, that's all this is? I can probably do that. So I kept coming to meetings. Heck, you know, went to the meeting the next day because a group of guys, group of assholes, saw me after the meeting and said, hey, we're going to a meeting tomorrow. Do you want to come? And we met up at Midtown the next day and drove to St. Pete, and I went to my second meeting. At that meeting, they asked if anybody was celebrating a birthday, and I said, hey, my birthday was yesterday. not knowing a damn thing. So, made a right fool out of myself that day. Won't let myself live that down. And for the first 3 weeks or so, I was just going to meetings. I hadn't gotten a sponsor. I wasn't working the steps. So I was still pretty miserable. And it wasn't until about 3 weeks sober that I was driving home from, I believe, a late night meeting to my parents' house, where I knew there was liquor, and I knew I had free access to it, no one would care, and I knew I was going to drink it. And I did not have a choice in that. It was going to happen, it was a foregone conclusion, and I hated myself with every fiber of my being. And God saw fit to put me at the last red light before my parents' house long enough to ask myself, what would Terry do? What would Lloyd do? And in the moment, what I realized the answer to that was make myself a cup of coffee, pour in way too much sugar, and find a Zoom meeting. And I did that, and I didn't drink, even though it was there. And that is, in my opinion, here, because who I am and where I've been, what I've done, that was not a choice I had or I got to make. So realizing that the next day, the next time I saw, in this case, Terry, I asked him to sponsor me. And I told him I was worried, because at that point in time, I was still an atheist. And at that point in time, I still had a medical marijuana card. And I was thankfully willing to put that to the side. He did also ask me that night as we were walking to get pizza, two really important questions. The first being that if there was in any world that I could conceive a world with an Alex that believed in a higher power. I said yes, but he followed it up with if there was any world or universe that I could believe there was an Alex that was willing to believe in a higher power. And that was a much easier yes. And that was enough for me. So I kept coming to meetings. We started getting into the steps. For a little while there, my higher power was Santa, in all honesty. Because you come to enough meetings, you start to hear people saying stuff that amounts to essentially being good for goodness sake. I may as well be Santa. And that worked. It honestly did. As silly and as stupid as it was. And I'm grateful for that because, again, it got me to where I'm at today. And in terms of working the steps, they weren't easy by any stretch, but they were made easier because I had a group of people around me. They were all there and wanted to be there and were there for the betterment of themselves and each other. So having that support group that I was so familiar with in the Boy Scouts was tremendous. We got into the book. We started reading. I read the doctor's opinion, and you could tell me that it was written yesterday and I'd still believe you. And you also could have told me it was written about me, because so much of that letter still rings true to me in terms of the way I felt, the way I had gone through life, the way I thought. And then we kept going from there in terms of there is a solution and into how it works. And working the steps in earnest, like I said, wasn't easy, but the way I was taken through the steps helped. I expected to have trouble with my fourth step, but I did my fourth step at the Florida Men's Advance, a camping trip in the spring. We had lunch. After lunch, my sponsor sat me down, wrote out how this all works. This is what you're going to do. He said, dinner's at 7, be done by then. So I sat and I wrote, and it sucked. I'm not going to lie to you, it did suck. But I'm so glad that I did it that way versus what would have been my way, which is You know, some people say fourth step takes 4 months, 4 months to think, 3.5 months to think about it, and 1 day to write it. If I had sat and thought about all of that resentment and fear and anxiety on my own pace, I would have been miserable for even longer. But being able to get through that fourth step and get onto my fifth step and get all of that out was tremendous. I'm not going to lie to you either, the fifth step also sucked. Having to tell another human being all the fucked up shit I've done over the years was not pleasant. But I can safely say that after that is when I truly started feeling better in this program. It wasn't until I got that done that things actively started to change for me. So if you are on your fourth step here tonight, don't work on it. Just get it done. It's really not worth lording over. You're only drawing out the pain and misery. From there, 6 and 7 were easy. Two paragraphs in our book, and that's about the time my sponsor gave them. At that point in time, I had already been giving my will and my life up to, at that point in time, the program was my higher power, so giving it up to the program, just going to meetings, calling my sponsor, reading the book. So giving myself up to my higher power wasn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, especially when I kept Santa in mind. 8 and 9 did also suck. Those were the two that I think going into the program that I feared the most in terms of not just having to realize all the terrible shit I'd done, but try and make it right and confronting the people that I've harmed and do right by them. And I can only say that for all of that fear that I had, it was pretty well unfounded. Most of my amends have gone well. I have deeper and stronger friendships with some of those people that I had to make amends to now today. I absolutely got a couple of people that told me to screw off, and that's okay, because I know that I've done everything that I can in that relationship, and they were honestly right to tell me to screw off. Now, 10, 11, and 12, those are the ones that really how the rest of my life I try and live. Waking up in the morning, reading some AA literature, praying, finding the time to meditate, helps me center myself and get my day started off on the wrong foot, right foot. Right foot. It's the wrong foot when I don't do it. There have been plenty of days where I haven't done it. By the end of the day, I can start to tell. There was even a period, I'm a first responder, so during Milton last year, I spent the better part of a month at Middleton High School, and I didn't do a lot of praying, I didn't do a lot of meditating. And there was one day towards the end of Milton that the sound of an ice cold beer sounded damn good. And that frankly terrified me. Thankfully, I picked up the phone, talked to my sponsor, and got through the rest of that experience. Again, not something I thought myself capable of doing. Past that, I'm really grateful I've got a group of guys that I'm in a text chain every morning, so I get reminders now to read, pray, and meditate. Not all of them do it, but I got to do it so that the guys who don't do it look bad. None of them are sitting in this audience, I promise. If you feel called out, you know who to talk to. And thank you. From where I was when I came into the program to where I am now, that for me is one of the biggest miracles and the reasons for me to believe in a higher power, to go from waking up every morning praying to get hit by a bus and going to bed praying to not wake up, to waking up in the morning, praying in earnest to be helpful to someone else, and going to bed and praying, thankful for the day that I've had, is something I never truly expected. I'm someone that hates cliches, but I can safely say that I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams, because I don't want to die anymore. And that, for me, is something I never expected to have at my bottom. And that's only because of this program. It's only because I came in, I got a sponsor, and I did the work. And I'm excited now. I went through the better part of a decade not having any hope for my future, of hating existence, existing one day at a time in misery, to existing with hope for the future. And a sense of contentment with my life. I'm truly grateful to be where I'm at now in my life. My life with AA and work AA. I'm in a relationship now that's gone for about a year, which is my longest and most successful relationship. I don't have time for anything. And it's exhausting. But I'm glad to be in that place, because I know if I had the time for myself, that it wouldn't take long for me to get back to that old mindset of that place where an ice cold beer sounds good. And I'll also say, it hasn't all been puppies and rainbows. You know, life is still life. It was at about a year and a half sober, I almost got in my first ever bar fight. It was about 2 years sober. That was a fun phone call to have with my sponsor, by the way. Hey, Spons, I almost just got into a bar fight. What the fuck? 2 years sober, I was at a place mentally where I could think of only two good ideas of what to do with myself. One was pick up a nicotine habit, and the other was drive out to the Skyway. Suffice to say, I popped a pouchie in my mouth before I came up here. That nicotine hasn't gone anywhere. But in both of those moments, I knew what to do. And it wasn't pick up a drink. It was, in the case of the bar fight, call my sponsor as I was leaving the bar. The night that I was in that bad mindset, I knew the answer was more AA. To be frank, I hated that idea. It sounded awful, but I knew it was the best idea for me. So I threw myself back into the program, got more involved, did more meetings, talked to more alcoholics, and I got through that. And I got through that all the better. And I just get to live such a cool life now. I've gotten to see and do a lot of cool things. About 6 months sober, I went skydiving. Like 4 months ago, I went scuba diving. And those are only opportunities that I would have had thanks to this program and my sobriety. Because if I had my way, I'd be at home with a handle playing video games. Miserable. Frankly, miserable. And if you felt any way that I have, you know, that I've talked about here, give this program another shot. It has changed my life in ways that I never expected it to. I came in, I really didn't know what to expect when I came in. I was so sad and pathetic that literally anything sounded better than going through another day of hell that I was going through. So to get to come into this program and do those things has been really awesome. And that's not even to say how awesome it has been to see other people get those gifts of this program. To see other people come in one day sober and turn their lives around and become better, happier, healthier people. It's truly awesome. And that truly for me is actually what keeps me coming back to the program, is hoping and knowing that some small thing that I may do or say to someone can not even give someone an ounce of the happiness that I've received, but relieve an ounce of the pain that I had to go through before I came here. It's the sort of thing that I... There's a few people in this room, actually, where one guy I picked up for his first ever meeting of AA is going to be celebrating a year next month. That's awesome. Our higher power moment, Alyssa, I met at her first meeting. Went to another meeting that night to make sure that ladies of AA were there for her, and I've gotten to see her pick up a year and see her change and grow as a person. That is amazing. Man, it truly is. And that's why I want to keep coming, because, again, if I can spare anyone an ounce of the pain that I personally went through, then it makes all of the pain that I went through worth it. And at the end of the day, that's truly what this program is about, is turning our pain and our suffering into a tool to help the sick and suffering, to help other people, to do good for goodness sake. And that's, I mean, that's about what I've got of this program is a miracle. I only use those words. I will also say, as far as the God word, I use the word God these days because I don't have any better way to describe my higher power, to describe the things that I see in this program, of the lights coming back on in people's eyes, their lives changing. Those are miracles to me because it was a miracle in my life because I knew that nothing I did worked. So to have come in and found something that does work and not only works for me and works for others, it's a miracle brought on by some higher power, whatever that may be. So I think I'm going to end off there.